Hey, Notorious Bakersfield fans. Notorious Bakersfield the book is available for purchase. If you enjoyed this podcast, you'll love the book. Notorious Bakersfield the book dives deeper into the most infamous crimes, incidents, and personalities that have shaped Bakersfield. This literary adaptation uncovers 30 astonishing true stories from Bakersfield and Kern counties last century. Notorious stories from a notorious community. To purchase your copy, go to Amazon.com or your Amazon app and search for Notorious Bakersfield, the book. This is the Notorious Bakersfield podcast. I'm Robert Peterson, the host and creator of this podcast that takes a look back at some of Bakersfield's most notorious crimes, events, and characters. For decades, Mary was a well-known figure who roamed the streets in and around downtown Bakersfield, earning her the nickname Downtown Mary. Despite her familiarity to those who frequented downtown Bakersfield, Mary remained a mystery woman. Little was known about her origins or how she ended up in Bakersfield. Mary lived in transient hotels and motels. She dressed in tattered, layered clothing that seemed more suited for East Coast winters than Bakersfield's scorching summer temperatures. Recently, I heard a story about Mary's past that seemed questionable. This prompted me to attempt to find out as much as possible about who this mysterious woman was. When Mary died in 2002, her death was big news. Her funeral was covered by not only the Bakersfield Californian, but also the Los Angeles Times. This is Downtown Mary. If you were around Bakersfield in the 80s, 90s, or early 2000s, you're probably familiar with Downtown Mary. She wandered the streets in downtown Bakersfield. She had a slight build. Despite her hunched-over appearance, she seemed sturdy on her feet. She always wore a dark, heavy winter coat, even in hot weather. Her head was often covered by a soft helmet, something similar to what early military pilots would wear, or old-fashioned football helmets. But her most striking feature was her piercing blue eyes, beautiful blue eyes that smiled. Mary would sweep the sidewalks and gutters in front of businesses. She watered flower beds with repurposed milk cartons she hauled around in a two-wheeled pushcart. She seemed a lonely figure. I never saw her approach people, but I did see others approach her to offer her food or cash. Once I was with my aunts Alice and Babe, and we saw Mary. Both my aunts wanted to give her a $20 bill each. When they extended the money to Mary, she was reluctant, but ultimately accepted the cash. Mary quietly muttered something that we took as a thank you. When we got back in the car, our conversation naturally was about Mary. Who was she? Where was she from? Did she have family here in Bakersfield? Was she homeless? Where did she sleep? These questions we had were the same questions everyone in Bakersfield had about this well-known bag lady. Mary's real name was Mabel Elaine Neal. While she was in Bakersfield, if anyone asked her name, she'd simply say, Mary, just Mary. She was born June 26, 1931, in Firth, Idaho, a small town in the eastern part of that state. As a matter of fact, Mary was the great-granddaughter of Lorenzo Firth, the founder of Firth, Idaho. She left her hometown as a young teen to attend a Catholic boarding school in Boise. While at this school, she excelled in sports. After high school, Mary made her way to Southern California, where she put her athletic abilities to use. In 1958, she played softball for an all-female team out of Long Beach. The team was named the Luckyettes and would play against male teams, their opponents, the men, dressed as females. In the early 1960s, Mary's name shows up in several Los Angeles newspapers associated with sports, from exhibition women's basketball to shot put. Mary began receiving Social Security in 1966, so I assume she suffered some form of disability around this time. When exactly she began calling the streets of Bakersfield home isn't entirely clear. In her mother's obituary published in 1966, Mary was mentioned as living in Glendale, California at that time. So it's safe to say that Mary came to Bakersfield sometime after 1966. Mary was always friendly to people who approached her on the street, but offered few words in exchange. If someone asked her a question, her answers were always evasive. Mary was a fixture in downtown. It seemed she roamed every street, but she definitely frequented some areas more than others. An almost daily routine for the stooped-over figure was to stop at Westchester Liquors. Not to buy alcohol. She never bought liquor. No, Mary's almost daily purchase from that establishment were a can of beans, vegetables, Vienna sausages, and the Wall Street Journal. Sometimes people would ask her why she came to Bakersfield, and she'd simply reply that she had family here. But nobody knew who these family members were. Mary just wasn't forthcoming with information about herself.
I encountered her whenever I would be driving downtown in the area of perhaps Westchester was when I first encountered her. And I want to say it was probably in the early years of maybe in the 90s or so. I always thought she was really interesting to see. I mean, she was this elderly, hunched over woman who wore a helmet and a big jacket any time of the year. She was always really bundled up and really hunched over. So she was quite interesting to see. And then at one point, we decided to stop and say hello to her. And it was, we had gone through the drive-thru at Wendy's and decided to stop and talk with her. And I was quite taken by her. She has beautiful blue eyes, very, very beautiful blue eyes, and very, you know, light complected. And you know, she was very kind and very humble in her speech. And so that's how I first met her with my children. We were stopping to give her something to eat and to drink and spoke with her for a bit. You know, after that, we would stop at different times. And then one time it happened to be my daughter Erica's birthday. And I asked her what she wanted for her birthday. And what she wanted was to take Mary, who we called her Mary, downtown Mary food. So we encountered her over by F Street at that McDonald's area, the area across from there. And Erica shared a happy meal. She had a happy meal and they ate together. So she was just someone that was really neat.
That was Audrey Chavez recalling for me what she remembers about Mary. As you'd expect, downtown Mary's life wasn't easy. Through all the years she lived out of seedy hotels and motels, her life was threatened three different times by fire. Once at the Tegeler Hotel, once at the Mission Hotel, and once at the Bakersfield Hotel. The closest call was in the Mission Hotel fire in March 1992, on the corner of 19th and M Streets. When firefighters arrived on scene, they saw Mary leaning out an upper-story window in an attempt to avoid the fire and thick smoke. Captain Joe Adams with the Bakersfield Fire Department said it looked like she was going to jump. The rescuers quickly positioned a ladder to the window for her to escape. Mary made her way out the window, carrying a bag, and climbed down the ladder. Captain Adams told the Californian that when Mary got safely to the ground, she turned around and quietly walked away, holding her bag. The Bakersfield Californian reported that Mary was also the victim of violence, of a sexual assault while she was living at the Bakersfield Hotel on 19th Street. In 1992, a 30-year-old man who was also a resident of the hotel beat and raped Mary in her room. The district attorney investigator who handled her case said he was surprised at how well-spoken Mary was. He told the Californian that he was expecting her to be unkempt and not smelling too good. He said what he remembered was, quote, "She was totally opposite of what I expected." Her assailant, Kenneth Ray Sheehy, pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 16 years in prison. Mary spent the last 2 years of her life living at the Knight's Rest Inn on Union Avenue. The motel's manager stated Mary paid her rent in cash, $110 weekly. On Sunday, March 10, 2002, after not seeing her for a couple of days, the motel's manager decided to go check in on her. When the manager opened the room's door, Mary was lying on her bed, face up, deceased. The Kern County coroner listed her cause of death as a heart condition. Mabel Elaine Neal, or Downtown Mary as Bakersfield knew her, was 70 years old. The news of Mary's passing appeared in the Bakersfield Californian 3 days after she died. Bakersfield residents were naturally curious about whether there would be a funeral or memorial to honor this gentle, humble woman. Despite not being a prominent citizen or office holder, Mary was deeply loved. The estates of people who die indigent and without any surviving family members are typically handled by the County Public Administrator's Office. The Administrator's Office is also responsible for disposal of the decedent's body. When that occurs, there isn't any pomp or formalities. It's an impersonal, private, and cold affair. But because Mary was so well known and cherished by so many people, there was an outpouring of people offering to give Mary a proper funeral. Businesses and individuals collaborated to arrange a farewell that reflected her significance to our community. Bakersfield family funeral directors stepped up to donate their services, and Hillcrest Memorial Park donated a burial plot. There were 2 days of visitation open to anybody who wanted to pay their respects. Over those 2 days, more than 300 people filed past Mary's open casket. Most of Bakersfield was accustomed to seeing Mary dressed in her usual drab brown heavy coat. But for this occasion, Mary's body was dressed in a simple pink dress, her hands clasped two red roses. Mabel Elaine Neal, or Downtown Mary's funeral, was held on March 19, 2002, and again, all of Bakersfield was invited. For someone who lived her life in the shadows, Mary's funeral was a spectacle. The Bakersfield Californian, as well as the Los Angeles Times, covered the event. about 175 people crowded into the mortuary's chapel. It was an eclectic crowd, from Mary's fellow street people to some of Bakersfield's most prominent citizens attended the solemn affair. People eulogized Mary by recalling their encounters with her and how she impacted their lives. But most everyone was oblivious to Mary's history or background, or what brought her here to Bakersfield decades before. There was one mourner who had an unexpected connection to downtown Mary. When this man spoke at Mary's funeral to reveal this relationship, everyone in attendance was shocked. Remember, most people in Bakersfield didn't know Mary's real name. We only knew her as Mary or Downtown Mary. When her obituary was published before her funeral, her legal name was revealed. And that's when all of Bakersfield first learned she even had another name. Included in that obituary was information about Mary's birthplace, Firth, Idaho. When longtime Bakersfield resident Patrick Williams read that he shared the same hometown as Mary, the mystery began to unravel. He recognized Mary's legal name. He knew Mary from his days in Firth, Idaho. But not only did Williams remember her, they were quasi-related. They were step-siblings. Williams' mother married a widower back in Firth in 1970. This widower was Mary's father. Patrick Williams had no idea about this connection until he read Mary's obituary and put two and two together. Remember, I said when people would ask Mary why she came to Bakersfield, she'd say she had family here? Once he discovered Mary's real name and her history, it dawned on Patrick Williams that he was most likely that family. With this revelation, guilt set in for Williams. This newly unearthed personal connection to downtown Mary was an eye-opener for Williams. Before reading her obituary, Mary was as much of a mystery to Williams as she was to the rest of Bakersfield. He'd passed by Bakersfield's most famous bag lady dozens of times over the years, and it never occurred to him that the two could have anything in common. So Patrick Williams went to Mary's funeral to pay his respects and also to confess. As people rose to speak about their encounters with Mary, Williams listened anxiously, trying to figure out when the appropriate time would be to tell about his and Mary's kinship. Finally, someone said Mary once told them she had family here in Bakersfield. That was Patrick Williams' opening. That's when he stood up and told those gathered about this family connection. Later, in an interview with Robert Price from the Bakersfield Californian, Williams admitted he never paid any attention to her whenever he'd see Mary waddle around downtown Bakersfield. Williams said this about his late stepsister, quote, "Makes you realize every one of those homeless people, every drunk, every transient, was once someone's beloved baby," unquote. I've heard many rumors about Mary that I couldn't corroborate. Someone told me Mary's family in Idaho was wealthy. I don't think that's true, but I don't think they were poor either. I also heard they abandoned Mary because of her drug addiction. I don't think that's true either. People with addiction issues tend to be arrested frequently. When Mary passed away, the Bakersfield Police Department told the Californian she had never been arrested. And I've been told when she died, she had a large amount of money on her. There's no evidence to indicate that that rumor is true either. It appears Mary was just an eccentric person living an unconventional life. Firefighters came to Mary's rescue three times, saving her life at least once. It was only fitting that Bakersfield and Kern County firefighters served as pallbearers at her funeral, carrying her casket to her final resting place at Hillcrest Cemetery. For nearly three decades, she wandered the streets of Bakersfield helping to water flower beds and keeping sidewalks clear of litter. She was one of the characters who made Bakersfield unique. With Mary's passing, the city lost some of its character. Resources used to research the story: the Bakersfield Californian, the Los Angeles Times, and an API blog post written by Cindy Nunn titled "Downtown Mary of Bakersfield." This is Robert Peterson. Thank you for listening to this episode. I'll be back next week, next Tuesday, with another notorious Bakersfield story. Until then, stay safe, stay out of trouble. Don't become a future episode of the Notorious Bakersfield podcast.
Just helping out with your facts there.